Our number one priority is actually all terminally ill veterans. If there's a Korean or a Vietnam veteran out there that has been diagnosed with lung cancer and they've never been able to visit their memorial, they go to the top of the list. We call them our TLCs. And TLC doesn't stand for tender loving care. All the veterans get that. It stands for their last chance. So all across the country, our top priority are terminally ill veterans that have a memorial in Washington, D.C. that have never seen it. Then our next priority is chronologically World War II veterans, then Korean veterans, then Vietnam veterans. Because our organization, we haven't figured out yet which veterans do not deserve to see their memorials in Washington, D.C. So we are anxiously pursuing all the memorials, all the veterans that have memorials out there, but certainly the large lion's share of the veterans that we're transporting are World War II veterans.
We're talking to Earl Morse. He's a retired Air Force captain and president and co-founder of Honor Flight. And what about the arrangements when the veterans get to Washington? How do you handle that?
Oh, that is probably the most moving part of the entire day, because these veterans, they're coming in from all over the country, and we're landing at three airports. We come into Washington Dulles, BWI, and Reagan National. When these veterans step off the plane after a long flight, it almost brings them to their knees to see all the people there that are at the airport, clapping, cheering, shaking their hands. Some of these people have tears in their eyes because their grandfather was a World War II veteran that never got to see the memorial, and perhaps they never really had an opportunity to thank their grandfather for what they've done. So you have so many people coming up to these veterans, shaking their hand, looking them in the eye, and saying thank you for what you've done.
So how do you get those volunteers to the airport? How do you alert everyone that this is taking place?
We have incredible support in the airports. We have airport directors that are out there at BWI, Reagan, and also Washington Dulles, and they have volunteers that work for them as well. They're easily recognized with these neon, gaudy yellow shirts that say Honor Flight Ground Crew. They show up at the airports. The airlines have been really good in providing gate passes for these volunteers. And also now, because we're in our fifth year, they make announcements overhead. They say, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not doing anything for the next 10, 15 minutes, there's a plane load of World War II veterans arriving at gate 27B or something like that. If you want to come down there and welcome them to their memorial, en route to their memorial, come on down. And the outpouring of emotion and appreciation and almost a reverence for what they have accomplished, you see that happen on every arrival into Washington, D.C. It is so moving and powerful.
And what about housing and meals for them while they're here? How do you handle that?
Mostly, we're in and out the same day. For the majority of locations east of the Mississippi and some locations just west of the Mississippi, we fly out in the morning, they tour all day long, and then they fly out that evening. We have deluxe motor coach arrangements that have been made with a lot of bus companies, Dillon's Bus Company in particular, but the motor coaches have to have wheelchair lifts on them. When we first started the program, about 10% of the veterans were in wheelchairs. Now, about 40 to 50% of the veterans are in wheelchairs. Also, we have accommodations for oxygen. About 2 to 3% of the veterans that we bring in are also on oxygen. So we've had quite a few years to get this down to a pretty good science, but we are so dependent on volunteers in Washington, D.C. to lend us a hand.
And how do people volunteer? It sounds like you're going to get a lot of response to this, but how do people volunteer for this effort?
Please, just visit our website. It's honorflight.org. honorflight.org. And there on the website, we have a Contact Us page, and there it lists the various airport directors. And if somebody wants to lend a hand at Reagan or BWI, they can click on that address to that volunteer and just provide the information, and we'll make that happen for them.
So when's the next Honor Flight into Washington?
We have one coming up on the 21st, and that's probably going to be the last one of the season.
21st of November?
Yes, ma'am. We pause over the winter months because the risk of falls on ice is pretty it's not something that we're willing to risk, even though it's important that they come out there and see the memorial. If we feel that we could cause more harm than good, we avoid that. And also at the World War II Memorial, they shut down the fountains during the winter months. So we wrap things up towards the end of November. We start things up again towards the end of May, and we run all year long.
Well, I think it's fantastic what you're doing, and I think that the World War II veterans probably are so appreciative, but mostly we're appreciative that you took the time to set up something on their behalf. So
you sound like a remarkable man.
Really, truly, we're proud of all of you. Thanks.
I don't know who gets more out of it, us or the World War II veterans.
I think that's a good question.
Literally, it's like bringing Abraham Lincoln to the Lincoln Memorial. It's their memorial. They've earned it. They've waited 60 years to see it. And to be standing side by side with them when they witness it, I don't know who gets more out of it. I think maybe we do.
You know, Mr. Morse, you made me cry, and that's not an easy thing to do.
I've been trying for years, and I've never been able to do it.
Well,
none of us cry. We like to say our allergies flare up from time to time.
It's very touching, and I know that Senator Dole and Mrs. Dole, the Senators Dole, took part in one of the recent trips into Washington. Do you also often have the senator there, or are there other people that volunteer from Congress or notaries around the town that want to do this?
Senator Dole's, both of them are there almost every time. It's going to have to be a major event for them not to be there. It was so interesting. I was there with the Senator Dole. He was greeting a group from Ohio, and this was around 1 o'clock, and he had said, yeah, I just broke away from meetings up on the Hill. And sure enough, I was watching CNN that night, and Senator Dole was spearheading the investigation of Walter Reed Medical Center and whether or not the health care was being derived appropriately, provided to the service members appropriately. And in the proceedings, they were talking with Senator Dole, and they said, well, we're going to go ahead and break for lunch, and we're going to reconvene at 1 o'clock. And Senator Dole said, no. I'm meeting a group of Honor Flight veterans from Ohio at that time. He is so wonderful and gracious. Both Senator Dole's, they come out there all the time, and they greet those veterans, and it means so much to them to see how cherished, how revered, how respected they are by this entire nation. And for Senator Dole's to come down there and welcome them, boy, they come home on cloud nine, these World War II veterans do. It's so moving and powerful. And that's probably the greatest feeling that we get at the end of the day, is when we're flying back to wherever in the country, and you look over that aircraft and you see those World War II veterans sitting there, and you know that every one of them now has a personal, intimate knowledge of how revered, how cherished, how admired they are by this nation. They deserve this, and we are running out of time, and we need all the help we can get.